You're listening to 91.7 WVXU on NPR One. On the heels of the U.S. reopening its embassy in Cuba, Miami University is planning a journalism study abroad program there. Professor Joe Sampson traveled to Havana in June to begin putting the program together. While there, he met with Cubans and American tourists. In the first of a two-part series, Sampson explores how the boom in U.S. visitors is affecting the local economy and relations between the countries.
As the wheels of the American Airlines charter Boeing 737 hit the tarmac at Havana's Jose Marti International Airport, the applause begins. The plane is packed, a mixture of Cubans returning to familiar terrain and American tourists visiting a place both unfamiliar and once forbidden, despite its close geographic proximity. According to a University of Havana study, a thaw in relations between the two nations has resulted in a 36% increase in American visitors to Cuba in the first half of 2015.
Everybody that we've met as part of the tour has been very nice.
That's Ann Means of Fort Myers Beach, Florida, who, along with her 14-year-old daughter Melissa, is part of a growing number of Americans choosing to vacation in Cuba for the first time.
When you ask people questions, you can certainly tell that they have been led probably all, if not most, of their lives in what to think and what to say, and they're very attuned to that. And no one criticizes the government here, as we're free to do in our country.
The increase in U.S. tourists is putting a strain on available hotels in the capital city, while also providing a windfall of foreign dollars for government-run tourism programs.
Take a day in Havana. So today is going to be an interesting day.
With its warm climate, rich cultural history, and inviting beaches, tourism is a key revenue generator for the island nation of 11 million. Tourism dollars are finding their way out of the city and into more remote regions, including Las Teresas, a government-owned eco-village in the Sierra del Rosario Mountains, 30 miles west of Havana. Designated a biosphere reserve by UNESCO 20 years ago, today the area is home to 930 miles of tree-lined terraces, dozens of bird species, and a community village of 125 farming families. In the fall, workers here harvest 30 tons of honey. Economic reforms allow locals to keep 35% of all profits generated at Las Teresas. 46-year-old Otis Campa lives in the village and has worked as a tour guide in the area since 1995. He's noticed a growing number of Americans visiting the area recently, drawn to its hiking trails, birdwatching, swimming, canoeing, and ziplining. Campa hopes the natural splendor of Las Teresas can aid in breaking down decades of bad blood between the U.S. and Cuba.
In my opinion, we have many things in common. What of thinking, what of way. People love nature, people love social interaction. And then, but it's really necessary this open, this common relationship, because we're close neighbors.
A sentiment most seem to share and find reason to cheer for. For 91.7 WVXU, I'm Joe Sampson.
Now, in part two of this series, Sampson visits a government-owned urban farm and learns about the vital role it's playing in Cuba today.
8 miles to the east of downtown Havana, a quiet revolution is taking place, one row of vegetables at a time.
We're planting lettuce because it's a 25-day in a field.
On the 25-acre urban organic farm in the Havana suburb of Alomar, workers are helping improve the local diet, provide an infusion of much-needed cash to the neighborhood, and ease the government's heavy dependence on food imports. The island nation of 11 million imports 80% of its food rations. As to what better relations with the U.S. might mean for farmers here, 40-year-old Isas Salcines, an engineer and daughter of the property's founding president, says she welcomes new opportunities, but isn't looking for outside help.
We try to create the condition for to be more sustainable. Maybe the American said, I want to send a machine, I want to send a tractor. No, we are happy with our oxen.
Economic reforms now allow employees to share in the profits of the government-owned property. The percentage of the profits employees keep is based on seniority. When it opened in 1997, the farm collective had 5 workers. Today, a quarter of its 175 employees hold advanced degrees. For 91.7 WVXU, I'm Joe Sampson.